following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
It was a busy weekend for the Bears. Good evening, hello, and welcome. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, featuring former Bears quarterback Jim Miller and 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin. Happy to have you with us for the full 60 minutes. All Bears, all the time here on this show. And let's kick things off with the man of the hour. That would be the Bears' first-round pick, number 14 overall, cornerback out of Virginia Tech, Kyle Fuller, joins us now on the program. Kyle, congratulations on being a Bear. What have the last few days been like for you since the draft?
First of all, yeah, thank you. And I'm glad to be a Bear. But, it's been really, really exciting. You know, I got a chance to, go to Chicago, see all the coaches, meet a lot of fans at the draft day party. So I definitely feel welcomed, and I'm looking forward to get started.
It's got a kind of a college atmosphere around here, doesn't it, Kyle? When you get to see 1,500 fans come to a draft day party and accept you into their new life like they wanted to, with great applause.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely something I compared it to. I know to get better. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Kyle, Jim Miller here. I talked to you at the draft there at Radio City Music Hall. You look great in your suit, and obviously, congratulations again on being selected by the Bears. Maybe just talk about how you want to get to know the history. It's the Monsters of the Midway, my friend. It's a hard-hitting defense, and certainly your cover skills are going to help out the Bears as well. But talk about that, coming to the Bears in this vicious defense to rebuild it.
I definitely, when I think about the Bears, I think of, that tough physical defense. And, I'm definitely looking forward to coming and being part of it and, making it better. And, that's definitely something that I'm really looking forward to.
Visiting with Bears first-round pick cornerback Kyle Fuller out of Virginia Tech, you played against some big-time competition with the Hokies. But when the Bears brought you in, the coaches all want to know, it's not just about the physical play, it's about your ability to understand the game. What were they looking for when they put you up in front of the board?
Just a guy with a high football IQ, and I feel like I had that. I've been well-prepared, at Virginia Tech with the defense we run. And, I'm a versatile player, not only, with being able to play multiple positions, but also, with in any scheme or whatever a coach asks me to do, I feel like I'll be able to do it.
Kyle, first round to seventh rounder, I think everybody has to come in here and compete on the special teams. And you have some nice stats from your college career, and Frank Beamer is one of the qualitiest of special teams coaches in the NCAA. You wear a number 23. Do you have any return ability, whether catching punts or kickoffs?
I believe I have some in me. I didn't do too much in college, but special team is definitely something that I take pride in, that's something I'm willing to come in and do and be effective on that and help the team.
Well, Kyle, to give the Bears fans a picture of what type of player you are, who in the NFL would you compare your game to, or who do you try to model your game after in the National Football League?
Growing up, I always liked Charles Woodson, a guy who was versatile, played multiple positions. I look up to the best in the league. Last year, Richard Sherman. The way he played, and I try to model my game after a lot of the best guys in the league.
You mentioned Richard Sherman, and now with the Bears, you're going to be wearing number 23. I find it interesting that you wore number 17 at Virginia Tech. The guy who wore that number before you is Richard Sherman's teammate in Cam Chancellor, a game changer in the secondary. So you already have had the pressure of wearing a number from a guy that was a big-time performer prior to you getting it. So I'm sure that means a lot to you.
Yeah, it definitely does. What I did in college, I just wanted to go in and make a name for myself. Hold up that tradition of that number. I feel like I did a good job at that, at Virginia Tech, and I want to do the same thing here.
Hey, Kyle, the accomplishment of graduating from college, I think that is as great an accomplishment as you getting drafted. But, when you talk about the maturity that goes along with it, how is that going to help you take a faster step into the competitiveness, the locker room, and just the psychological makeup it takes, the challenges you every day?
Yeah, I think it just really goes back to, the hard work that I'll be putting in, and you know, me doing things as a pro and you know, taking care of business, doing what I have to do.
Well, how about just talk about your day in the green room? You know, how was it sitting there with family, friends? They obviously had to be pretty excited. And when you got the phone call, maybe just touch on maybe the emotion was let out a little bit when your name finally got called by the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, it was an awesome feeling. You know, I had a good day, you know, going from the red carpet coming into the green room, you know, sitting around a lot of good athletes. You know, I feel like I was just talking about, I feel like I had the best position, you know, right beside Khalil Mack, you know, a friend of mine, and Johnny Manziel. So, you know, seeing all the cameras and then, you know, just seeing guys' reaction, you know, picking up the phone and things like that. And I know I remember getting my call. You know, my agent was walking over talking, you know, telling me that this is it, this is it. And, you know, I looked at my phone. You know, I saw Illinois' number, and you know, so that was just an awesome feeling. And you know, then hearing my name called, you know, by the commissioner, and you know, walking across the stage.
That's got to be a cool feeling, talking with Bears first round pick Kyle Fuller, and it's got to be a cool feeling because you really didn't know. You know, if Jadeveon Clowney was nervous because he didn't know if he was going to be the first overall pick, I'm sure at 14, even though you probably had a good visit with the Bears and you felt comfortable with them, did you know? When did you begin to think, all right, I may go here?
No, I really didn't know. You know, I wasn't nervous. I was just sitting back and enjoying. You know, wherever I went. And, you know, my agent, they started talking about, you know, a corner run. And I kind of had a feeling that would happen. So, you know, once Justin Gilbert went, you know, I'm just sitting here thinking, like, you know, some guys are about to start going, you know, where I would be.
Hey, Kyle, I'm sorry. In the modern world of social media, everything comes so quick. You even have the veteran teammates introducing themselves to you. What about any of the rookie class, the other guys that got drafted with you? Have you had any type of communication with any of those guys?
Yeah, I reached out to all of them, you know, just congratulating them, you know, telling them I can't wait to meet them. And I was fortunate enough to know Eagle Ferguson, you know, when I was coming out of high school. He's not far from where I was coming out of, you know, so, you know, I got a chance to meet him and, you know, go to camp and things like that with him. So, you know, I'll be looking forward to seeing him again and, you know, just getting to work, you know, with all those guys.
Well, that's great. You guys are a fraternity, and you're all in that rookie class together and got to stick together. My question would I'm going to talk a little bit about the football side of it. I mean, break down for the Bears fans. How do you play big monster receivers like a Calvin Johnson versus, say, somebody like a Jarrett Boykin up there for Green Bay or Randall Cobb, the bigger guys versus the smaller guys, and how do you play them differently, Kyle?
Yeah, you know, I was fortunate enough to, you know, go up against a Jarrett Boykin for a year, my freshman year, so I got some good work against some big receivers. But you know, I'm a tough physical guy. You know, long arms. You know, fast. You know, I feel I have good strength. So, and I'm pretty long as far as being one of the key guys. So, and I'm smart and you know, just you know, I have a lot of experience with it. You know, so really, I'm just out there, you know, doing what I'm comfortable doing and you know, doing a good job at it.
Yeah, the proof is the fact that Kyle Fuller was playing that inverted safety position at Virginia Tech, which is essentially almost as though you're playing linebacker with the thinking that you're going to stop the run and kind of crashing in there to help in the tackling. Now, I know they drafted Ego Ferguson and Will Sutton to make sure that you don't have to do that a lot with the Bears. So give us the scouting report on Ego, since you know him.
You know, just a tough physical, you know, like you turn on the film. You know, he's going to, you know, cause some problems down there in the defensive line. You know, I can't wait to, you know, see him doing that for the Chicago Bears.
In the bloodlines, Kyle, who in your family is your main supporter? Are you closer to a brother than anybody else? It was nice to see your dad there right next to the stage with us the other night at the fan party. But in your family, who is your biggest supporter?
I think we're all supportive. You know, we're not, you know, we don't show, we're all, you know, supportive for each other. You know, starting with my oldest brother, you know, who we all looked up to growing up, and down the court, and now Kendall, you know, he's the youngest one, so he's able to get it all from us. But we all support each other.
Well, the work starts again, and I guess, has it sunk in yet, or will it be like your first practice, where you're donning your Bear helmet with the C on it and putting on your jersey to go out to practice, or has it already sunken in that you're a Chicago?
Yeah, I think the first practice is when it really hit me. Hasn't really hit me yet. You know, I've been thinking about it a lot, but it hasn't really hit me. Like, I'm sure it will.
Your brother Corey, and we'll let you go on this, Kyle. Your brother Corey, with a ton of NFL experience, what's the biggest message he sent to you as you get ready to visit Halas Hall later on in the week and perform in your first mini camp?
Really just doing what I've done, you know, to get me to this level and more, you know, just continue to work hard, focus, you know, do what you have to do.
Kyle, good stuff. Good luck the rest of the way. I'm sure we'll be talking a lot during your Bears career.
Thank you, Kyle.
Yes, thank you.
Kyle Fuller, the Bears' first-round pick, spending a few moments with us here on Bears All Access. When we come back, we'll break down the rest of the Bears draft with Tom Thayer, Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Along with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access. Register today at priceless.com/Chicago for MasterCard's Priceless Chicago, a collection of amazing experiences available exclusively to MasterCard cardholders. A little bit later on in the show, we'll play Ask Tom at 312-644-6767. We'll have a Mother's Day edition.
Hopefully.
So let's get some mothers involved in the show to ask Tom some questions about the world of football.
Have your husband tell you to ask you a question.
Whatever it takes. Right. You know, we'll add a little flavor to Bears All Access here on this Mother's Day. And happy Mother's Day out there to everyone. I think the thing that stands out about Kyle Fuller, guys, and we'll start with you, Jim, the maturity. It comes across immediately when you have a conversation with the young man.
Yeah, he's a sharp guy. I met him face-to-face, really impressed with the young man when he got picked at Radio City Music Hall. And, you know, he's a special player. And, you know, and Tom can back this up. 90% of football, you know, no matter how athletic you are, you've got to have it be between the ears. You know, you got to be able to process information, think, look at formations, understand what you're seeing and be able to react to all that information you're processing to make a big play. And I think he is. He's a smart football player. He really drove up the boards as the draft got closer. And here the Bears select a fine football player and selected, I think, a lot of fine football players here in the 20 draft.
Yeah, you know, Jim, it seems like the first rounders have a little bit more on their plate. They're judged how far beyond just being a good football player. Because when you're a first rounder and you're coming into that locker room, and eventually you're going to take a job of Charles Tillman and Tim Jennings, because I'm saying that out of respect, because these guys have had great careers and they have longer to play, but eventually this first rounder is going to be a leader in the locker room. And what he can say to the rest of his teammates, to the rest of the guys in his draft class or free agent class, him being a leader outside the football field is a real responsibility that these first rounders have. And again, meeting Kyle the other day and knowing that he's a college graduate and he's got a great support system, I think that's kind of the contribution that you make outside the football field as a first rounder to a locker room.
Graduated in December with a degree at finance.
Yes.
At Virginia Tech. Now, a lot of people that watch the draft and listen to the draft, they go off of the names that we routinely hear leading up to the draft. And many people felt the Bears would draft the safety, either Calvin Pryor or Ha Ha Clinton Dix. And the Bears decided to say no to those two guys, even though they were available, and went with the cornerback because teams spread you out. For example, Jim, in that final game that the Bears played against the Packers, Green Bay had the Bears in nickel situations 95% of the game. And for people who don't understand why that third corner is so important, can you explain what teams do in terms of not allowing you to substitute, spreading you out, and then being able to run the ball against a team that might not be strong enough to stop it?
Well, first I'll start with this. I think this was a very interesting draft because there were niche players like Kyle Fuller. For as big as he is, he's a quick twitch type of player. What I mean by that is there were a lot of teams that drafted hybrid players like Kyle Fuller. Think of Jason Verrett, who San Diego took. He is strictly a slot corner. I think the Bears want to put Kyle Fuller in the slot, as you mentioned, that third guy. Jalen Watkins was another guy. Nevin Lawson. So there were certain teams that targeted that niche role because in key moments in space, you know, we see guys like Wes Welker getting first down after first down after first down because nobody can respond to his quick twitch. And guys like Kyle Fuller, there were about six of them in this draft that had that ability. And Kyle Fuller was one of them. And that had greater value because you saw all those players go pretty high in where they were selected. Teams recognized it because, as you mentioned, that Week 17 game against Green Bay, three four-down conversions were the killer. Think of Minnesota, a 4th-and-11, couldn't get off the field in that game. So it is a high priority, and again, it just tells you how specialized football is becoming. It continues to get more specialized, and you're trying to get those defenders to combat what teams are doing on offense with those slot receivers.
Well, I was talking to Phil after the draft last night, Phil Emery, general manager of the Bears, and I said, man, you must have a great poker face, because I saw maybe 20 or 30 different mock drafts of different experts of every different level you could possibly imagine. Not one of them had them picking Fuller in the first round of the draft. So all the information that these guys do try to digest, and they try to figure out what you need as a team and where your value counts and what this first-round draft choice is going to get you, the experts really don't know. Well, they have a design, but, you know, again, there wasn't anybody that went out there and had the feeling that the Bears were going to take Fuller first round.
Yeah, well, you bring up a good point, because the positions that were thin coming into the draft, everybody said, oh, look at all the safeties.
Yes.
But there were only six guys with the quick twitch hybrid, and all those guys went high. And, you know, same with the tight ends. That's why Ebron went so quick, because tight end position was thin in the draft. Because I think a lot of teams started to react, say, hey, we know we can get a receiver later. There's a ton of receivers in this draft, so draft the best guys first. And that's what happened, especially those niche players that teams were trying to covet.
And you know, Jim, tackling is such a premium here in Chicago from the cornerback. So regardless of Kyle Fuller, where they're going to play him, inside or outside, I think one of the first traits they have to have is being a good tackler, as not only in this division, but in the responsibilities of the defense.
There's no doubt, because I do think football is going to circle back. Everybody saw how successful Seattle was running the football. Look what San Francisco did this weekend. They've got a staple of running backs. I mean, and they drafted more offensive linemen. They're going to continue to pound the football. So I think you are going to see it. As much as teams are having success throwing it, some teams are cycling back towards pounding the football, because, as you mentioned, you're getting more cover guys on the field. So what do you do against cover guys? You try to pound the football at them, and they're going to have to get physical to stop the run.
And no team in the NFL last season gave up more rushing yards than the Bears, which is why picks 2 and 3 were spent on run stuffers on the inside in Ego Ferguson and Will Sutton. What stands out when you watch some of the highlights from those guys, Tom?
I like the ability to play nose guard, a 3-technique defensive tackle, or even a 5-technique if you want to go wide. And all that is the position of the defensive tackle they're playing. Playing right over the center is a nose guard technique, and the 1, 3, or 5 is where they play over the guard. And they do have different abilities. If you take Sutton, he has more of a quick twitch ability to make pressure on the inside and get penetration and disrupt the flow in the running game and the passing game. And then Ego Ferguson, he's more of a two-gapper, where he's going to be able to take two offensive linemen, center or guard, point of attack, hold his ground, and now it's going to take the coaching. What do you do after you use your initial 300-pound-plus to create a stalemate? And then that's when coaching comes in. But I think both of these guys, they have the right traits that you want to be able to cultivate in a professional atmosphere, especially being able to look at guys like Jeremiah Ratliff and Nate Collins and Stephen Pye and the way they prepare and play on the inside.
For me, I'm with Tom. Well, I think Ego Ferguson, I see him as a 1-technique and Will as a 3-technique, because Ego is stronger in terms of holding his ground, in my opinion. I talked to Gil Brand, who's probably been a part of 50 drafts over his lifetime. He said if Ego would have stayed in school, he'd be a first-round draft pick.
Yeah, Phil Emery said that when he was watching games in which Ego Ferguson played, and consider that the conference, the SEC, he said the other team could not run the ball up the middle because Ferguson was just a space eater.
Yeah, but, well, everybody's focusing on the sacks. They think everybody's going to be Geno Atkins of Cincinnati, who's going to get a ton of sacks. I mean, this guy's really a one-year starter when you look at Ego Ferguson, and only registered 1 sack, because that's his game, is, like you said, stuffing the run. And he is strong now, and I think that is high praise for him. Will Sutton came out, he had a great junior year, and I saw him down at the Senior Bowl, and he had gotten too big. He was too big his last year at Arizona. He got up to 325, and he needs to play in the 305 range to display what Tom talked about. This guy has a burst now to penetrate. And you saw that down at the Senior Bowl. He had got down to about 300. I think he was about 312 at that point down at the Senior Bowl. And during the team periods where it was just O-line versus D-line and getting to the quarterback, he displayed that burst and that penetration that you saw his junior year. So he recognized it. He grew up. He said, I just cannot play at that weight. He knew he had gotten too big, and now it's getting down to the 305, 310 range is much better for Will Sutton. Very explosive player, though.
Yeah, Phil Emery says that he wants him between 285 and 295 when the season starts. Right now, he's at 290, so he's in that neighborhood, as you mentioned, Jim, where he had success his junior year. Now, when the season ended, you could make a case the Bears did not have enough quality NFL defensive linemen. And now you look at them today, there's a surplus with the three guys, that the three big names that they brought in free agency, and Jared Allen, Lamar Houston, and Willie Young on the outside. Jeremiah Ratliff is back, along with Nate Collins, who's healthy now, and Stephen Paya on the inside, and these two guys, Ferguson and Sutton. It creates competition, and you always hear competition makes you better. But as a player on the practice field, how does it make you better?
It makes you better because the Bears go ones against ones. So they don't have the luxury of having a rookie come in here with inexperience playing against number four guy over there and kind of winning the battle. They have to go out there immediately and perform against the best guys on the team. And if they go up there and hold their own, then you have the ability to start judging them. Because right now, if you want to talk a slew of quality defensive linemen, Jared Allen, number one, Jeremiah Ratliff, number two, and the rest of the guys fall in the line after Lamar Houston and Willie Young. No disrespect, but again, you look at the track record of success, it's those two guys are leading the way. And these young guys have a lot of catching up to do. But again, you talk about the competition. You know, Stephen Paya is a guy that he's got signs that he can play, but he's never stayed healthy enough long enough to play. Now, if you get one of these guys that have durability built into them, and they're there, and they're everyday players, now they're counted on every practice, every drill, every day, all of a sudden that gives them an upper hand in part of that battle.
And you're not looking to get guys off the street, which was a situation that the Bears were facing last season during the middle of the year, which is never a good thing. We got to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll break down everything that the Bears did yesterday, rounds 4 through 7, as well as play Ask Tom. 312-644-6767. That's the phone number. Best caller of the segment will get a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of Judge Jim Miller. Alongside Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Join the Chicago Bears Kids Club, brought to you by Papa John's. Members have access to events, contests, and opportunities to meet Bears players, as well as chances to win Bears tickets. Sign up at chicagobears.com/kidsclub. We're about a segment away before playing Ask Tom here on this Mother's Day. 312-644-6767. So I'm giving you time to all the mothers out there to call in, get on hold, get prepared and relaxed to ask Tom any question that you have in regards to the world of football. And at the end of the next segment, Judge Jim Miller will award a gift certificate to the best caller of that segment, a gift certificate to Sports Authority. But before we get there at 312-644-6767 here on Bears All Access with Tom Thayer, Jim Miller, and Zach Zabin, let's hit what the Bears did yesterday, because sometimes the moves you make in the last day of the draft could be big moves if you hit correctly on these guys. For example, in round 4, the Bears picked two players. They drafted the Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year, Arizona running back Kadeem Carey, and then they traded up to get Brock Vereen, the brother of Patriots running back Shane Vereen. And Brock Vereen is a safety. The Bears anticipate him playing the freeze, also a standout special teamer. Tom, what are your quick snapshots on those two players?
You know, I like the head coaches that they played for. Both of them are well-respected head coaches. And then that tells you a little bit about the players and their accomplishments. But I like the running back. I don't care that he doesn't have breakaway world-class speed, because I just need him to get 4 yards. And I hope he has the mindset and the bullheadedness and the lowering the shoulders and the strength. You get me 4 yards of carry. That's all I'm looking for. I'm not looking for miracle numbers. And then Vereen, hey, man, we're all searching for the safety. We're searching for a guy to play close to the line of scrimmage. And what I like is Fuller and Vereen together. You got two rookies that come in the same class. A little extra conversation. They get to share some knowledge. What are you learning as a safety is different than from a corner, a slot corner. So I think there's a good ability for this draft class to help themselves by being friends and helping each other through training camp.
Hey, Jim, when you look at the Bears' safety situation, because a lot of people are wondering, what are they going to do? Chris Conte is out until probably the first preseason game, according to Phil Emery, as he recovers from shoulder surgery. Major Wright no longer on the team. So you have Ryan Mundy, who they brought in from the Giants. Is he more of a strong safety guy? They brought in M.D. Jennings from the Packers.
Right.
Is that where the competition's going to be at free safety between him, say, Vereen, and whenever Conte can get back on the field?
Yeah, I agree. And I think, much like we talked about at other positions like D-tackle, I think it's going to be the same at safety. I don't think anybody's guaranteed anything. These guys are going to be out there and going to be given their opportunity. I like this Brock Vereen a lot from Minnesota because he also was a hybrid player. He played corner at Minnesota too now. I mean, this guy had a very good combine, very strong in terms of his numbers, very instinctive, good ball skills, not afraid. He's a physical player, not afraid to hit, and that's why he was voted first team all Big Ten. There's a lot of other talented schools. We can go through Ohio State, Michigan State. Well, it's this kid was first team, all first team from Minnesota. So very good player, and I think a good pick, and he's going to come in and compete, just like what Tom said, because that Jerry Kill can coach now, and this kid is going to know how to come in and compete and is going to do his job.
You mentioned cornerback for Brock Vereen. Yep. Played the final seven games last year at corner after playing the first six at safety. 11 starts over his career at free safety, 7 at strong safety, 14 at right cornerback, 4 starts at left cornerback. So Phil Emery always talks about wanting to have versatility, dynamic, athletic, playmaking guys, and Brock Vereen fits the bill. Want to ask you about the quarterback. You know these guys better than most, Jim. David Fales in round 6. Jim Harbaugh said he was a top 5 quarterback on his board. What do you make of this kid?
He's a great point guard. He's a guy who plays within himself and he plays within the system. He's a good decision maker, point guard. That's why everybody's saying, well, he doesn't do anything great. Yeah, does he have an overpowering arm? No, but he plays within the system. Case in point, when he plays Derek Carr of Fresno State, he outplayed him. David Fales outplayed Derek Carr, who goes second round to the Oakland Raiders. And so he's going to play within himself, within a system. A lot of people had him tabbed to go to a West Coast offense, and he's got great leadership, and he's a team guy. Sounds like a Mark Trestman type of guy.
Hey, Jim, what do you think about a quarterback that transfers away from a program, though? Does that put any type of mark, not against him, but because he feels his ability doesn't fit the program he's in, does that put any type of blemish to you at all?
Well, I think for a lot of guys, well, case in point, Tom Savage, he tried to transfer out to Rich Rodriguez out in Arizona and said, oh, this is not going to be a good fit for me, and then has to transfer to Pitt. Look at Nick Foles. He transferred from Michigan State out to Arizona. He's still, look how well he's playing for the Philadelphia Eagles. So I think a lot of guys, it is happenstance sometimes. There are coaching changes. They realize that. And there was another guy that the Bears were looking at, Brett Smith from Wyoming. The reason why he declared this year, because there was going to be a coaching change at Wyoming. So I think, those type of things do affect players, and they're conscientious of it, and why you see them transferring a little bit more than what they used to in the past.
And for people who don't know the story, David Fales initially was at Nevada. Colin Kaepernick was the quarterback. They run that pistol, and he didn't feel like he was the right fit, ended up going to San Jose State. They were awful offensively before he got there,
right,
and they put up monster numbers for that school in the years where he was the starting quarterback for them. Then they drafted, talking about the Bears now, a punter the size of Tom Thayer. Talking about Pat O'Donnell out of Miami. Just to put this in perspective, he bench pressed 225 at the combine 23 times. The two defensive linemen that the Bears picked, Ego Ferguson and Will Sutton.
Can I interject there for the listeners out
there?
That's more than Jadeveon Clowney benched it.
Yeah, exactly. And the two guys the Bears drafted bench press 24 times.
They don't do anything else. They just sit around. They go to practice for 10 minutes and go back in and lift weights.
Yeah, Kevin Butler couldn't have done that.
No.
Does it matter? Where does having that kind of and also, that's not the only area where his physical prowess was on display. I guess he ran, what, a 4.62 in the 40, and that's the highest time for any punter kicker since 2006.
Can he hold for Robbie Gould?
He held all 4 years as a punter in college.
Jim, how important that is. You can be a punter, and but not even talking about the elements coming in here to punt in Chicago. There may be a transition of a new long snapper here.
Right.
Joe DeCamillis is a really emotional special teams coach. So, hey, if Phil was excited about getting the athlete that they were able to draft for this position. So if he can hit it like his arm, his leg strength, you know, his, and his bench press, it'll be something.
And you guys both know the wind patterns, Soldier Field off the lakefront, it's ridiculous at times. And the Bears had two good directional punters for a while there in Brad Maynard and early on in Adam Podlish's career before things went south. This guy's not really a directional punter. He's a big leg.
Not yet.
Well, he was third nationally. He averaged about 47.3 yards per punt. Did hammer guys down there about 17 times inside the 20-yard line. So, but you're right. I mean, if there was, say, a fake punt situation, you'd like to think that speed's going to help him out if he's got to run a little bit. And as Tom said, laces out, Dan, when you're doing the holes.
and the Bears' seventh-round pick, guys, I'll start with you, Tom, because you played the position. Charles Leno, Jr., out of Boise State. He was a guy who played tackle. The Bears might be looking at him as a guard, though.
Well, you talk about versatility, and that's the key element in anybody drafted. You're not a one-position player. So one thing about Leno is even when they saw him at the combine and stuff and the way he moved around, you know, he's got the right build. He's got long arms. He's got feet to play any position. And, again, if you're bringing in a lineman here at this point, Jordan Mills. It's not out of the realm of out of the possibility you could have drafted a starter at this point. But again, his versatility is the reason he got drafted at this point. And I think Aaron Cromer and Pete Myers, Pat Myers, they're the offensive line coach. Both of these guys, they work with these undeveloped talent, and they have an opportunity to flourish.
Pat Myers.
He's got a very lean frame. He can easily add a lot of weight. When you look at Leno Jr., and here's what I love about him, 38 consecutive starts. This guy has played a lot of football and is only going to get better because he can add a lot of weight to get better. To, like you said, those long levers, Tom, once he gets stronger, he's going to be, you know, he's got room for improvement in terms of his ceiling.
The Bears also signed 9 undrafted free agents today, including former Northern Illinois quarterback Jordan Lynch, who's listed as a running back. Phil Emery mentioned it a number of times yesterday that his ability to see the field as a runner is what impressed him as a scout and a general manager. When we come back, it's time to play Ask Tom. So get the phone calls ready. 312-644-6767. Here's how we play. You ask Tom a question, anything in the world of football. Judge Jim Miller is sitting back with his legal pad, just taking notes. The best caller at the end of the segment wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. We play Ask Tom next, a Mother's Day edition, right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. It's time now to play Ask Tom on this Mother's Day. 312-644-6767. Longtime listeners to the program know Ask Tom's real simple. You ask Tom a question about football. Judge Jim Miller is taking notes at the end of the segment. Best question / caller receives a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of Jim Miller. Should we begin the festivities, guys?
Of course.
All right, let's do it at 312-644-6767. Northside, Mike, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I want to ask you, with the improvements the Bears made to their defense with the draft and with free agency, how do other offensive coordinators in the NFC have to change their game plans now? Because it looks to me like they're going to be a lot better against the run and the pass.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, first of all, anytime you line up against the new Chicago Bears defense, you're going to have to identify the whereabouts of Jared Allen. And then your pass protection will start from where he is according to how you adjust the linebackers and the strength of the rest of the players. But at least coming out to start the season, depending upon how Jared plays throughout this season, that's going to be the identifying mark. And then I'm sure Lamar Houston and Willie Young and the rest of the guys will pick up the slack like Israel Adonijay, and then you're going to have to get the inside pressure. But I still think with Jared Allen's reputation, he will be the instigator of the direction of protection.
32 years old, but remember, last season still had double-digit sacks. 3-1.
You can't ignore him. That's the thing. If you think you're going to ignore him, he's going to get another 15 sacks on
and
you.
And now, unlike last year, I feel like the Bears have a bunch of guys on their defensive line outside of the main pass rusher who you have to account for as well, who can take advantage of the extra attention.
At least you have that first one that gets it all started, though.
312-644-6767. Ask Tom continues with Derek in the Quad Cities.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Good, Derek.
Hey, first off, I just want to say we went to the draft party this Saturday, and it was our Friday. It was awesome. So you did a great job moderating.
Thanks a lot, Derek.
So my question is, I know when they made that second pick with Ego Ferguson, there's still a lot of other guys on the board. Would you have went with Ego, or is there someone else that you thought that the Bears should have drafted?
You know, Derek, I think we all have these fantasy picks that, yeah, we would draft if we were, but I think they're privy to so much information in terms of, you know, the relationships, the way, you know, their private life is, the different things they did in college that maybe got them derailed a little bit. But I think when you look at the guys like Ego, you got to look at the program, you got to look at the conference, you got to look at the head coach that was is there coaching them. And if you get a positive reflection of all of everything that he's been able to include to that program since he's been there, I think that's the evaluation that the scouts pay attention to. Unfortunately for us on the outside, there's too much information they have that we're not privileged to.
I go back to the fact that Phil Emery said when LSU was playing football in the SEC and other teams tried to run up the middle, they couldn't run against Ego Ferguson. And you look at what was the Bears' major problem on defense a year ago, the inability to stop the run. Plus, he was coached by former Bears defensive line coach Brick Haley.
Right.
So there's familiarity there between what the Bears are looking for and being able to talk to Brick
Les
Haley.
Les Miles runs a tight ship down there, too. So, I mean, you got to look at the programs these guys are coming from.
And more players were drafted out of LSU this year than any other school in the country. Tony in South Holland, you are on Bears All Access. Ask Tom.
Hey, Tony.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Love your show. Hey, I just got a question. I love the Bears draft. The Bears draft was they have the offense. They were top 10 in the offense, running, passing, and then they drafted nothing but defensive guys. I like the draft. So I mean, what honestly do you guys give the draft? You guys between the 1 and 5, what do you guys give the draft?
I think if you go out there and what are the needs of the Bears from the year before, they've gone out there and tried to achieve and fill a lot of holes. But again, to put a grade on the draft, I think it's unfair because you got to see these guys, first of all, go through OTAs. How do they accept the classroom portion of professional football life? And then when you put pads on them, how do they make the transition into the pad part of it? So I think the grade portion of it is a little ways away. But as Bears fans, we had specific needs that the Bears had to go out and make, and they were able to do that.
Our final two callers will start with Chris in Michigan. Ask Tom.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Tom. Quick question is regards to how thin the linebackers are, and two linebackers that didn't get drafted and fell through the draft from the Michigan State defense, Nico Allen and Mac Bola. Why wouldn't the Bears look at some of those and for the free agent guys after the draft was over? You know, they're very productive and kind of seem to fit what the Bears are trying to do defensively.
First of all, I'm shocked neither of them were drafted. But I know Max Bulla had an incident at the bowl game that he was sent home, and I hope that wasn't the reason, you know, that's still haunting him, because I think both of these guys, they have the skills to go out there and compete at the linebacker position. And I think you're right. The linebacker position here in Chicago is still a little thin. But again, I still think you're going to see personnel changes and position movement in players come all the way up until the time training camp starts. So I don't think the roster is set. You just have the initial cast of characters that you put down on the list, and then things will change. And, you know, I had a chance to talk to Kasim Green the other day, and here's a guy you don't know a lot about, drafted last year out of Rutgers. And you like to see his maturity development, the way he talks, his expectations for himself. And those are what we have to put on the Bears, guys like Shea McClellan and Kasim Green and Jonathan Bostic. We have to expect that they're going to react to the offseason as pros and come in here and play at a really high level.
And now that they've had a little bit of experience, you know exactly what you need to work on going forward.
Correct.
Bostic, Green, even Shea McClellan now moving to the linebacker position. All right, we will end Ask Tom with our final caller, Matt in Tremont, Illinois. Matt, Ask Tom.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, thanks for having me. One of the things that I don't think Phil Emery has given enough credit for is how he's seeing the future landscape of the NFL with the drafting of so many hybrid players over the last few years. And so my question is, what do you think the feasibility is of Kasim Green dropping about 20 to 30 pounds and moving into more of a hybrid defensive back safety type of player?
You know, it's funny you brought him up because I did just talk to him the other day, and I was impressed in how he looks at this stage of the offseason because he looks more like a linebacker. I don't think he would ever be able to morph into a safety hybrid position because I don't think he has that speed to cover those types of receivers. But I do like his determination to come in here and win a job as a starter. He is not content, and he knows that you're going to come out here and you're going to work for your job every day. So I'm actually excited to, and I don't know what to expect out of Kasim Green this year, but I'm going to have high expectations for him.
All right, it's time to pick a winner. The best caller of the segment gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority Judge Jim Miller. Who was the best?
Drum roll, please. Okay, we'll go with Tony. Tony asked about how do you grade the Bears draft. I'm with Tom because everybody was killing the Seattle Seahawks drafts, and they will go to the Super Bowl. But I will say this. I do take stock in what other general managers say, and I heard Mark Domenech, former GM of the Bucks. He had the Bears in his top five. That's how well he thought Phil Emery drafted. And Phil Savage and Pat Kerwin also said the same thing. They're both former GMs and thought the Bears had a great draft.
So congratulations to Tony, winning a gift certificate to Sports Authority. When we come back, what do you make of Jordan Lynch, one of the undrafted free agents the Bears signed today? We'll discuss next with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. I'm Zach Sabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I want to remind you that Bears All Access is now available as a podcast. You can subscribe on the show page at ChicagoBears.com. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, former quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Sabin. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy John's and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 right on Fox Chicago, or go to ChicagoBears.com/InsideTheBears. And this week, Matt Forte guest hosts with Double A and Lindsay Petrucci. Double A heads to a comic book convention to interview Israel Adonijé on his comic book, The Protectors. Show airs Sunday night, 10:35 on Fox Chicago. Jordan Lynch, one of the nine undrafted free agents the Bears signed today, ran for 1,920 yards and 23 touchdowns this past season, which is why, even though he was a quarterback at NIU, he's officially listed as a running back now that he's agreed to terms with the Bears.
Yeah, I like the fact that they're giving him an option to do what he wants to do, but I've seen other quarterbacks like this make the transition to safety. And does he have the willingness to come up and hit? And would that be an option for him too? Because I'm sure he's super intelligent about every facet of football. And so is this what he's chosen for himself? Is this the path that he wants to take? Or is this what the Bears are recommending for him?
Jim, I remember when talking to him at the Combine, one of the things that he brought up is he wants to throw the ball. He wants to be a quarterback. But if he can't be a quarterback, he sees himself as a weapon with the ball in his hands, which is why I think offense is for him.
Yeah, I think, a better passer. Remember Dan LeFevre from Central Michigan? He was a local kid who really was a running back in high school. And Jordan Lynch, he does. He's got great instincts, great vision. Can break tackles. He's physical. I could see him running down on kickoffs as well, if that's going to be his role to make the Bears team. And, you know, he worked out as a running back at the Combine because I think that is his position with the ball in the sand.
Unfortunately for Jordan, he doesn't have the luxury of coming in here and being drafted as a number one round running back. Yep. He's going to have to be able to use his skill levels and all contributions and special teams. And that's the weird thing about it is if he does have that trait where he is comfortable in a tackling opportunity, you know, Jim, these guys are smart. And who was it? Scott Frost? Was it Frost?
Yeah, the former Nebraska quarterback. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying, he probably has more creativeness from the offensive thinking portion than the defensive side of it.
Jim, I want to hit Christian Jones from Florida State because here's a guy that failed a drug test reportedly at the NFL scouting combine, but prior to that was considered a playmaker.
Rounder.
Exactly. So the Bears sign him as one of the nine undrafted free agents today. They need linebacker help. Let's be honest. When you look at the way things kind of played out last year, Lance Briggs isn't getting any younger. DJ Williams has a one-year deal. What kind of player is Christian Jones?
I think he's another versatile linebacker. You know, that's what people can see. You can move him all around. He's not just set to be, say, an outside guy. He can play inside as well. Tenacious against stopping the run. Very athletic. And this is like what Tom had talked about with Max Bulley. He had a couple of prior incidents. He cost himself a lot of money with the failed drug test at the combine because a lot of people love this player. And so as for value, Unbelievable value for the Bears to get him undrafted because everybody had him rated going into the third round of the NFL
draft. Cincinnati just had the opportunity. They drafted a linebacker out of Arizona State, I think it was, and he had a brilliant year, the best of the best. Maybe it was 2 years. I know that they had just capitalized on a free agent linebacker. So that's another position like similar to running back. Sometimes you just have such a dynamic athlete that he doesn't get a chance to flourish until he gets into the right coach system, around the right professional people, into the right weight room, into the right diet and everything like that. And, you know, you have a guy like that that, you know, you had an interesting stat about first rounders and undrafted free agents in the
Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
there are more undrafted free agents, 15, in the Hall of Fame than number one overall picks, 13. Hey, guys, we're out of time. We got to say goodbye.
No.
Yeah, for Jim Miller and Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zibman saying thanks for listening. We come at you Thursday night at 6 o'clock with another edition of Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United Airlines.